This program presents ways to optimize health and well-being. When considering lifestyle changes, please consult with your healthcare provider to ensure they are suitable for you.
Hello and welcome. I'm Casey Vakurka. Sometimes our emotions can take us on a dramatic journey, like a tidal wave or a ripping roller coaster. They whisk us away into highs and lows we hardly expect. How can we manage these experiences? Stay tuned as we explore more about how to balance our emotions.
This is Your Lifestyle as Medicine, a production of 3ABN Australia Television.
It's great to have you with us on this program where we look at ways that you can shape your lifestyle as medicine. We are continuing our discussion today on balancing our emotions, and we are blessed to have health psychologist Jennifer Skews with us once more. Thank you, Jennifer, for being here with us.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. And Jennifer, last time when we talked, we were talking about how our emotions are often linked with a time reference, and our thinking can be time referenced. Mm-hmm. And this can be a key thing in terms of us discerning or working out whether our emotions are balanced. You know, if they're well into the past or well into the future, that can often set us off balance. Can you talk to us a little bit more about this and about how we can move in the direction of balancing our emotions?
Okay, I guess the first question is, when do we know we're out of balance emotionally?
That's a very good question.
It's a very good question. Not many people can go, oh, I know what that is, but it's actually when our emotions are out of proportion to the event. Okay, so when I'm reacting to an event and it's far more than the event requires, I'm overreacting. Mm. Or underreacting is another one. There are people who underreact who go the other way. So your reaction has to be in proportion to the event emotionally. Hmm. Okay. About 90%, they estimate, of emotional response in the present can be emotional loading from the past.
Wow.
Because every time we program it into the amygdala and we just set up that emotional programming, if we don't resolve it as we go, then it becomes like a house of cards. And someone will say something and it'll hit one of the five senses. It might be what we hear, what we see, their face or whatever. Next thing, we open our mouth and out it comes. And they look at you in horror going, what do I do?
Mm.
You know, because we're overreacting. So really, emotions are what I call a loaded gun, and we have a bit of a hair trigger sometimes, particularly if we haven't dealt with them, we're feeling hurt, wounded, it doesn't take much to be the trigger. So that is, first of all, knowing you do that, and you can do it in hindsight. You know, I look back and think, oh, some of the things I reacted to, they really weren't appropriate. So that, what can I learn from what I did in the past? Because if you don't learn from history, we keep repeating it. So doing a bit of a stock take, yeah, and you can do it on your own, but this is where getting someone to help you to do this, someone who might give you feedback or someone who can help you identify the pattern, and then have a look at, okay, what can I do to change it? How can I stop that overreaction, which I call the roller coaster, the emotional roller coaster?
Mm.
We don't realize that we're on that roller coaster. You know, there's that principle, stop the world I want to get off. Well, it's like stop the emotions I want to get off. That's what it's about. So how can I then get off that roller coaster? And this is where the model I'm going to look at today is very powerful. Okay, it is, when I've researched it, it's a biblical-based model because it's relevant to what we know that God teaches us, but it's also very scientifically valid.
Mm.
And I find true science supports what we know from the Bible and what God has shown us.
Mm.
So this is an excellent model. It doesn't matter what you believe, who you are, but if you follow this model and you see yourself in it, and that's a mindful approach, I have to recognize I'm at the wrong side of my emotions, basically, then I can choose what I want to do to get off that emotional roller coaster and put things back in perspective. Mm-hmm. And that means we look at some of the tools we talked about. I call it, well, as you said, the toolkit. What are the things we've learnt, we know that we can use to help us to get back on track? So I have a slide with a model on it that you can look at. And we're going to talk about each component, and it is like an equation or a proportion. Now, the top, this is the healthy side of it. The top is reason and conscience, and we want reason and conscience to work together. So when I talk about reason, what am I talking about? You know, when we're talking about the left brain, we're talking about our capacity to reason, our capacity to think things through, to look at it logically, to make sense of it, and often make a decision or a choice. So this is more to do with the IQ side of it. So we really need to be able to look at things and look at them rationally and think them through. And I find a good way of doing that sometimes is writing it down. I get people to do what I call a pros and cons list. Mm-hmm. That helps too, because getting it out of the head is really helpful when you're on that roller coaster. Journaling, writing down is a great way to go. But when you pair reason with conscience, it's more powerful, because anyone can reason. You know, the thief can reason why they did it. I did it because they had more than I've got, for example. Or they're not going to miss it. Yeah. So we can reason for the wrong reason or the right reason. Okay. But when you put conscience in the factor, conscience has to combine with reason. And we did talk a bit about the conscience being behind that frontal, or that the skull, in the skull layer at the beginning of the frontal lobe is, and it's a physical part of us that can reason or can know what's right and what's wrong at any given time. So we want to be able to work with the conscience. Now, when we talk about the conscience, what do you understand? Have you had any thoughts about what is the conscience, or what does it mean for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, the conscience isn't that like our moral sort of barometer? Whatever we understand is right and wrong, this is what is the detector for that.
Yeah, moral values detector.
Yeah.
If we've been brought up, with good moral values, they're already in there. But if we've been brought up with bad values, they're immoral, then that's what we're going to action. But at the same time, if you look at the conscience, we often equate that with our spiritual life, because this is where I believe God can communicate with us. The Holy Spirit motivates us, and people say, oh, it's that still small voice. It was just something that I knew I had to do, and I knew it was right. So it is, and that's then we've got left brain and now we've got right brain, because that's that intuitive side of the brain, right, that intuits, picks up on things, and then formulates it. So when we detect what is right and wrong here, and how many people have said, oh, I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway.
Yes.
And how many people use their feelings, it feels good, do it. You know, so this is where the we do a lot of emotional reasoning that gets us off that platform. But what we want to do is listen to the conscience, because we really do know. Even in things like eating a meal, you know, I'm happy to overeat, but I know I'm doing it and I know I don't need to, because it's going to upset my digestive system. So I mean, I think we often learn the hard way. We're hearing it, but we really need to listen to the conscience and obey it. And that's where reason comes in. I know if I do that, it's going to be good for me. It mightn't seem good at the moment, but I know it will be good to me. That I pray that you will help me to make the right decision. So what I want you to do is to think about, how can I use my reason and conscience to be able to do things, to be able to make a good decision? So this is the aim, is to get that balance back.
And just a little question on the reason side of things. You mentioned before that that part of the brain that deals with reason is dealing with like our intelligence. So if we help to, you know, cultivate our intelligence, is that actually going to strengthen our ability to manage emotions if we are strengthening that part of the brain?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
We're using both sides of it. Certainly with the reason, it helps to strengthen it, because we're rationalizing it, we're going over it, we're putting it in our memory bank. Okay? So it's a very powerful thing to do. So the more we do this, the more we listen to the conscience and then work with our reasoning, the more powerful it is.
Interesting. And the cultivation of it is obviously really important, because I think people talk about the brain, you know, it's the same as a muscle. If you don't use it, you'll lose it, or lose it'll weaken, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to cultivate those faculties.
We do. The reason can shut the conscience down, as you know. Mm. It can actually go the other way, where we start to do the reasoning where we don't listen to the conscience. Oh, I don't feel like doing that now. Yeah, it's not that important. And what's the difference if I don't do it? You know, so we can actually shut the conscience down. There's lots of
thoughts. Be careful, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So we really need to, and this is where I guess we need to have a little bit of humility to be able to go, no, I need to listen to it. Mm. I'm hearing that I don't need to do that, or that's not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, it's a good thing, because it helps you to get the balance and to stay in that proportion.
Mm.
Because we want that reason and conscience to work for us at all times.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way we can stay focused in the present. Okay. Mm. Whereas when you look at the bottom side of that equation, so if we can have a look at that model again,
mm-hmm.
There it is. Passion, appetite, and emotions. So when we look at passion, it's an intense emotion. If I'm passionate about something, I just want to do it. Okay? That is, you add in appetite. If my appetite for that passion is very high, then my emotions are going to be very, very high. Okay? Now, reason and conscience is trying to keep the balance over passion, appetite, and emotions. So I guess the question is, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about?
You can be passionate about many things. I mean, I'm passionate about things like health, things like music and nature and all of these things, you know, things you just love, you enjoy them, you want to do them naturally.
Absolutely. So we can put passion in the right direction, but we're using reason over conscience.
Mm.
But what if you love doing that so much, maybe work or what you're doing, that you do it too much, then it becomes a problem.
Mm.
Okay. And I mean, one of the big passions for our culture today, particularly, well, for all ages, but is chocolate. People love chocolate.
This
is
true.
Chocoholic. Yeah. Now, if you know, I get so many people I help who, I wish I could stop eating chocolate. If I buy it, I've got to eat the whole lot. They have no restraint, but it's not appetite. It's to do with the passion for it, because it also has a physiological uplift effect. Is so great that they can't use their reason and conscience to keep it in check.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So then it flips the equation. So then we've got passion, appetite, emotions over reason and conscience.
Mm. So what should people do in that situation where they're finding that the passion, the drive for it is so strong they can barely exercise those higher powers of, you know, reason and conscience to master it? What can people actually do with that?
Well, this is where that self-awareness, and this is where recognizing, using the emotions as a barometer.
Mm.
If I know I'm doing something that is excessive, I know my emotions are in control. So first of all, it's looking, when is my passion or that intensity and that appetite for it taken over? And sometimes it's very rapid. It can be very quick. I might say, no, I'm not going to. When I go shopping, I'll just use chocolate as an example. When I go shopping today, I won't buy any. And then you go and there's this, it's cheaper or it's your favourite one, or they're promoting it and have a taste. You know, we go, oh, one bit won't hurt. Next, one bit becomes a total amount.
Yes.
You'll know when you've actually conquered something, because you can do it for a while, or you can have a small amount if it's food or something like that. And you're not driven to have more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Your reason and conscience says, no, one bit's enough.
Control.
I need to go home early today. I've been working too long and too hard. Yeah, I need to look after me. So then your reason and conscience is now back in check.
Mm.
Okay? So emotions, again, are your barometer. And when you know you're doing too much of it and it's going on for too long and it's actually detrimental, it becomes addictive. This is where addictions come into that one. We lose our capacity to think rationally when we are running on passion, emotions, and our appetite for it.
Mm.
Okay, it overrides everything. It's we make mistakes, we make bad decisions. Another one. These are just simple things we're talking about. When you go shopping, you go in and you buy something. You go, what did I buy that for? Right, impulse.
Yes.
And it works on that same. We flipped it. Oh, it looks so nice. And then we're up against people in shops who sell things who actually give you the wrong message. So what you're getting is, oh, if it's an outfit for a woman, that colour really suits you. That looks so good on you. You know, there are several things, even a car salesman uses colour and certain things that, and they question the person to get those three bits of information and they use it to sell the car.
Mm.
So that's where they know how to get in emotionally. This is the danger.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have to cultivate, as you're saying here, the reason, the principle, the things that will put the moderating elements in place so that we're not taking it to excess. We're just keeping it as its appropriate amount.
Yes, in proportion.
Mm.
And if we find we're starting to go beyond it, we need to pull ourselves back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that, again, is a skill we have. That's a self-awareness of, hang on, I'm starting to want to do this more and more, and that's not healthy for me.
Mm.
You know, I know I burned out. I've been the workaholic, you name it. I've probably done it on that level. So I've learned I've got to take breaks. For me to be healthy, I must make sure that I keep my work in proportion to my capacity, my age, my skills. And when I do that, I can work at a high level and I don't burn out. The moment I start going, oh, no, I'll just do a bit extra and I keep doing that, that's when my health suffers.
Mm. Yeah, so there's there's quite a process here in terms of we're talking about like self-awareness and learning obviously what's right for us individually. But you were mentioning before in different ways, there's the way of you know, is our emotion excessive or conscience? Is it attuned to what is actually right in terms of the society, or is it got some very wrong reference point with it? And so all of these things are things which we really do need to carefully weigh them up and even get some external input on those things in order to understand what is actually the correct balance here. Because sometimes we can think, I've always lived this way, I've always done this, you know, this has to be normal. And then someone says, but it's not. And so you have to kind of figure this out.
And they go, why is my health suffering?
Yeah.
Living like that.
That's it. Health crises can often be wake-up calls for people, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. Or when things keep going wrong. Now, hang on, instead of blaming, which is an emotional thing, what am I doing that might be causing some of these problems? What can I change? We can only change us. We can't change what's out there.
Yes.
So we need to look at our inward personal change as well. So recognizing your emotional reactions, not your own, not just your own, but others as well.
Mm.
Sometimes you say something, they give you this look, go, well, hang on, what did I just say? Is that upsetting them? Right? Instead of just ploughing on and then the person's offended or upset.
Yeah.
Being able to pull back is hard when emotions are riding high or we're reacting. That's that we talked about in the present when we have that hair trigger where emotions start loading in.
Mm.
And you'll know when they're loading in because we start to get that adrenaline build up and we can feel the energy and power. It's, remember, emotions are very powerful. Okay? Mm. Emotions are in action. So we have to be determining, am I feeling too emotional about this? Maybe I shouldn't talk to the person until I've calmed down, until I've thought through. That's coming back to the reason and conscience side.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's where I find writing things down. When I've reacted to something, I don't need to do it so much now. I can actually process it just internally. But I used to write down what happened and then they're doing all the garbage. You know, they did this and they said that. And then I go back and think, well, hang on, why do I think that? And maybe I need to check it out. So I bring it back to that reason and conscience. And I feel bad. Oh, I shouldn't have reacted like that. And then when I talk to the person, what I reacted to wasn't what they meant at all.
Oh.
I've overreacted.
Yes.
We do this. So our reactions tell us what side of the coin. And I've broken it down to reason over passion or passion over reason. Mm. When am I in my reason and conscience and when am I in my passion? Which, mm-hmm. There it is there. So we can actually look at those two, reason over passion versus passion over reason. And it encompasses the whole equation. Mm. So what or who is in the way of the in control of the way I feel, and it shouldn't be others, it should be me. When do you know you're out of control? And that's usually our reaction. And how can you have emotional balance? Mm. That's where we have to not react on the way we're feeling, because I feel that way doesn't give me the right to project it.
Hmm.
I need to check it out. And it's okay to acknowledge a feeling. Like if I'm reacting to someone and I can feel that anger coming up, I'll say, look, I'm really feeling a bit angry about what you did. We don't attack the person, we attack the problem or the behavior.
Yeah.
Because attacking the person is when we flipped, we're back in that passion side, we go for the attack. Okay? So how can I check it out and just say, look, I'm feeling a bit annoyed about this versus I'm so angry. We can play it down and just find, is that what you meant? Check it out. Ask questions. Questioning is a great way to find out information.
Mm.
But writing it down, thinking it through helps to diffuse it. That I found was a powerful way for me to get back into that reason and conscience. It's like being a reporter versus being the participant.
Yeah, interesting. Mm.
Can I just step back and look at it like being the detective, and these are all the bits and pieces that have happened, and I know I've overreacted before to things, so maybe I'm doing that again. We can start to come back to ourself, and how do I know I'm doing that? Well, there are indicators that my passion's pretty high. I'm feeling really angry about that, or upset or hurt. Hurt is another one. Hurt, if we don't deal with emotional pain when we're feeling hurt and rejected, it becomes anger.
Mm.
So it fuels anger. So this is where addressing how we're feeling to that whatever happened, all right, and it can be, it doesn't have to be a person we know well. It might be a system. It might be all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Things that might be governments get us going and upset us, and we're on a roll, you know. So this is where we need to pull it back, get back to that rational balance where reason and conscience are working, and know we're out of proportion, we're overreacting. How can I now contain that? Maybe I could write a letter. If you write a letter often and when you're angry, it all comes out. We're angry about this, angry about that. I find if what you do is you do the angry letter and then work with it and put it into a letter that you could actually send to that person. You don't have to send it.
Mm.
But take the anger out and put in what happened. Work with the behaviour, how it affected you and what you would have preferred.
Mm.
There are three documents. So that way you're helping.
Yeah, and that's a nice way of actually processing it, because sometimes when you have those intense feelings in yourself, it can be hard to really analyze carefully because your brain's in a very emotional state. It's not, the rational stuff is struggling because it's being bombarded with all these emotions. And so when you're actually putting that emotional thinking on paper, it would be much more easy to analyze then and get that emotional, the reasoning factor coming into it and analyze what actually is going on in here.
Yes.
And how can I adjust it?
Yep. Because doing that makes you in a more mindful state. You're now the observer, not the participant. You're actually thinking about it, processing, and that's what we have to do, pray about it. As a Christian, I then pray about it and think, Lord, I'm not doing well here. What am I doing wrong? Please help me to calm down and show me what the truth is. And we can actually ask for that help. If we have a mentor or someone who is counselling us, we can take it and help to debrief it and process it there and work out what's the best reaction.
Mm.
Right. So even sometimes talking to a friend, or talking to the person when we calm down and get it back in perspective. So there's lots of things we can do to get that balance back. But as you know, the way we think is the way we feel. Therefore, if I'm feeling angry, what am I thinking? I'm thinking about what they did and how they did it, and they must have meant this. So this is where we need to change the thinking as well, our beliefs and thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. And another question I have was, Where does and how does the understanding of the power to choose and the power of the will come in to a situation like this where we're trying to manage our emotions and bring them under control? I know you explained to us in a previous program about the brain and how the will is
centered
in all of that part. How does that work?
Well, when the conscience is working and you know you've got, you can go the right way or the wrong way, it can be a good decision, a bad decision, the will has to action. We make a choice and then the will actions it for good or for bad. So if you choose good, then you've got to go, what am I going to do about it? Put the will in action. Don't just sit with it and say, well, I can't do anything. There's always something we can do.
Yeah.
What do you want to do about it? Ask questions. What do I want to do about it? What can I do about it? Do I need some advice here?
Yeah. So
is this something I need to work on?
Yeah. So you're making a conscious choice, but then you're also saying, okay, how can I make this choice play out? What can I do to make this a reality in this situation? And then we could apply some of your practical suggestions.
Yeah. And that's like solution focused versus problem focused.
Yeah, that's really important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So this is why we talked about when you're in the present and you're feeling anxious, put in a plan, a what if plan. That's a solution plan. Okay, so if we do the same when we're on that roller coaster, because once you start to think about a plan, you're going back to reason. And then the conscience is, what's a good plan? What can I do that will be the right thing and the good thing to do?
Yeah.
We can choose not to do it, but we can choose to do it. But knowing what is right means we're remapping the brain and putting in the right focus. Then we have to choose to action it. Or change it, one or the other.
Yes. And of course, into that, we can have spiritual inputs as well that can give us extra motivation or help. As you mentioned before, prayer. If we're wanting to go a certain direction, we can ask God to help us to proceed and cultivate that direction that we would like to go in more. And he
absolutely
can help us. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
I sometimes open my Bible and it gives me the answer. I find the Bible's full of wisdom, as we know. So this is where God has different ways. Sometimes when I pray about it, someone will phone me with the answer. So this is what we can do.
Interesting. Yeah, that is a wonderful thing, isn't it, how that can happen. Mm-hmm. And God can hear our prayers and answer them and help us with these things. And thank you so much once again, Jennifer, for sharing about this, the tips to help us manage our emotions effectively. In the last few programs, we have been talking with health psychologist Jennifer Skews about emotional intelligence and emotional balance. This is a very important aspect of our well-being, which impacts us in powerful ways. I have found this subject fascinating, and I am sure you have enjoyed learning about it too. Jennifer will be sharing more topics with us on the mind and emotions, so join us then. If you have questions or comments about this program, or if there is a topic you would like us to discuss, then contact us on health@3abnaustralia.org.au. And remember to shape your lifestyle as medicine.
You've been listening to Your Lifestyle as Medicine, a production of 3ABN Australia Television.